Krishna.
Hare
Krishna. Krishna,
Krishna. Krishna, Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare
Hare. Is it possible to have some water which is accessible? Yeah. If there's a little table, a little wood chair. So, Hare Krishna. King on the end. Yeah. What's he get? Okay. No? Okay. Okay. Everyone put your hands in the air. Everyone take a deep breath. And everyone say after me, very loud, very loud, after me. Hare Krishna! Louder! Hare Krishna! Okay, not bad. Come on. So we will read a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. En anglais, et j'espère, I hope, everyone understands anglais, because whoever doesn't could be a problem. Unless we go do a traduction, anuvad, or we just stick with English. Is it okay on anglais?
Yes.
Oh, okay. He says it's okay. Must be okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're going to read from the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Chapter 2, Divinity and Divine Service. And we're going to read text 16. I am going to test you now. Okay? I am going to test you, challenge you. Who knows Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 16? It's a good one to learn. Shushushro Shraddhanasya Vasudeva Kata Ruchi Siyan Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punya Tirtha Nishevanat. Oh, twice born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacyade Shatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vajikapa Tribhyas Chakripa Sindhu Vyanaja Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. In Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto, Lord Krishna is instructing Uddhava. It is called the Uddhava Gita. And one point that Lord Krishna makes very strongly there is that serving the devotees, appreciating the devotees, and working with the devotees despite challenges sometimes, that Lord Krishna says he appreciates that very much. And Krishna says there, in one of the verses, Krishna says, serving the devotees is a more effective way of developing love for God than trying to develop love for God. Did you catch that? Serving the devotees is a more effective way to develop love of God, more effective than trying to develop love for God. Isn't that interesting? Very interesting. And Lord Krishna tells Arjuna in the Adi Purana, it is one of the secondary Puranas, Ye me bhakta chaye. Ye me bhakta chaye. Ye me bhakta jana. Ye me bhakta jana. Partha. One who says he is my devotee, O Arjuna. Yea, me bhakta. That person who says, I am Krishna's devotee. Krishna says, na me bhakta. Chaye jana. He is not my devotee, but mad bhaktanam chaye bhaktas. One who says he is a devotee of my devotee, te me bhakta. Te me bhakta, yes. That person is my devotee. This is Krishna speaking. Yeme bhakta jana parta, na me bhakta chiye jana, mad bhaktanam chiye bhaktas, te me bhakta tama mataha. Mataha means, this is my opinion, Krishna is saying. This is my opinion. So sometimes, though, sometimes living in the company of devotees and being with them every day or very regularly, sometimes it can be difficult. Did any of you ever experience that? One. We have one here. We have two. If you want to know about it, you can ask them. Yes, sometimes it's difficult. In the good old days of Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON, 1973, in London, we were about 60 devotees living in a small temple and in a room which was, say, half the size of this stage. There were 20 of us. And in the next room, which was the same size, between the two of them, not bigger than the stage. So, the other room was the shower room. And there were so many devotees. One devotee was living in the shower. Yes. In the shower. And I'm serious. And if anybody wanted to have a shower, they had to either wait till he went out somewhere, or they had to ask his permission. And in those days, we had no clothes of our own. There was a box, big box, like something like that. There was this big box, and it was full of clothes. And in the morning, after you would take a bath, you know, first thing I noticed my first morning when I stayed in that temple, I stayed overnight, I got up in the morning, went to take a shower, got into the shower, and I was looking around. Where's the hot tap? There's only one tap. Where's the hot tap? Is it hiding? And then I realized, there is no hot tap. So then you have a quick shower. Because it was London, it was England, and it was January, so it was really quite cold. And then you come out, and then there's this big box full of clothes, and not nicely folded and ironed. It's just all these clothes just thrown in the box. So then you dive in and you try and find, there's a dhoti. Very good. Okay, where's a kurta? There's a kurta. How nice. Okay, now I need some socks because it's cold. So, okay, there's a red sock. Okay, good. Where is its brother? Looking around, no, the brother. His brother has gone missing. And then I looked, and then one devotee walked by, and on one of his feet was the brother. And on the other foot was a blue sock, red and blue. So, and I had now found the brother of the blue sock. So I said, Prabhu, let us exchange socks here. So, you know, I'll take two red ones, you take the two blue ones. And he looked at me like, what? He said, Prabhu, don't be so attached. So it was considered to use sort of Western hippie jargon, it was considered very uncool. It was very out to have matching socks. It was a sign of excessive material attachment. You should just have any socks, just anything. And we were living like this, and we were living on top of each other. Sometimes, literally. I remember coming down the stairs one morning before they turned the lights on, it was early, and there were devotees sleeping on the stairs. And before I knew it, I had stepped into the mouth of one devotee. And, you know, when you're living 20 in a room, like half the size of the stage, then whoever is last to take rest, everybody is awake until that time. And whoever is the first to get up, everybody wakes up. Because it's, you know, noisy and moving around and bumping. So when you're living at close quarters, very close to any people, even devotees, when you're living very close, then after a little while you notice all the sort of strange habits of all the other devotees. It does not take long. Their eccentricities and their, you know, little bad habits and funny things they do. You learn these. And then what do you do? Then you have to tolerate them. One time, one devotee approached Srila Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, he's too much. He's like this, and he's like that. And sometimes he says this, and sometimes he does that. And Prabhupada, it's too much. I can't take it. And Srila Prabhupada said, no. And just tolerate him. Just tolerate him. And the devotee said, but Srila Prabhupada, he's like this and like that, and complaining. And Robert said, no, just try to tolerate him as I tolerate you. So, don't worry, you can rest assured that as you feel you have to tolerate some devotee, don't worry. There is at least one devotee who is tolerating you and struggling with that. Whew. Here he comes again. Oh no. So we have to learn, because we are coming from material life. We have been living in material life for a long time. And material life means me. I am the main person. This is material life. Aham mameti. I, me, and mine. Pure Krishna consciousness, pure devotional service means Krishna and that which is Krishna's. Yes. And Krishna is in the center, and I am not in the center. I am wherever Krishna wants me to be. That's where I am. When Lord Krishna left Vrindavan, then the bridge busses, particularly the gopis, and particularly Srimati Radharani, they were all thrown into a bottomless ocean of separation. It's very amazing. Bottomless ocean of separation. We have not experienced feelings like that. Although, of course, we all have feelings. But we've never experienced feelings like that. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Mother Yashoda feels so much love for Krishna. And it doesn't just mean some emotion. It means like concern, real interest in Krishna. How is Krishna? Is Krishna all right? Does Krishna need help? That this is love. So Mother Yashoda, she feels so much love, so much concern. How is Krishna? That, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, she is ready to give her life 10,000 times. If there is one speck of dust on his forehead, on his head, one little speck of dust means everything is not exactly perfect. She's willing to give her life 10,000 times for that. We are not familiar with feelings like that because we are living, or we have been living, on the material level. And Krishna has not been in the center of our lives. And our natural Krishna consciousness has been covered over. So only a little bit of our consciousness and our Shakti is being displayed now. You know, the Vedas say the soul, and each one of us is a soul, the soul has the power of 10 million suns. The soul has the power of 10 million suns. Because the sun is material, the soul is eternal and spiritual. So our spiritual nature has been covered over. And that includes our spiritual feelings. Our spiritual emotions have been covered over. Therefore now we do not feel so much. We do not feel so strongly. Somebody dies. We feel something for a little while, and then we sort of forget about it. Isn't it? It happens. Even a family member dies. And within some months, maybe a year or so, in most cases, the people, family members who are living on, they've sort of, it's not a big thing any longer. It's certainly not some overwhelming emotional thing that we've lost this person after 1 year. Oh, life goes on. But when Krishna left Vrindavan, the inhabitants of Vrindavan, the feelings they felt, pure spiritual feelings, Lord Chaitanya speaking in the mood of Radharani, he says, Yugaitam Nimeshena. One Nimesh means fraction of a second. A fraction of a second seems like Yugaitam, like a yuga. 1 second feels, or a fraction of a second, feels like a yuga. See, this is a different level of emotion, of feelings, of relationships. Yeah. We have told the story before. Some of you, I'm sure, have heard of when Srila Prabhupada and the devotees celebrated Krishna Janmashtami for the first time in ISKCON. I think 1966 it must have been. So the devotees, just young people, they never celebrated Janmashtami. So they didn't know what would happen. But Prabhupada, he was instructing them. And Prabhupada, early in the morning, Srila Prabhupada said, yes, today is Janmashtami, Krishna Janmashtami. We will fast today. None of them had ever fasted. And Prabhupada said, we will fast. And they thought, sure, let's fast. Right. Very good. But by the time 5 o'clock in the afternoon had come, it was not so very good. They were feeling more hungry than they'd ever felt in their lives. So this one devotee told me that at 7 o'clock in the evening, now some of them were about to die, expire. They had gone beyond the expiry date. And Prabhupada said, 7 o'clock, let us go into the temple and we will read 10th canto Srimad Bhagavatam. So they thought, okay, let's do that. So in they went, and Prabhupada locked the door, put the key in his pocket, and started reading Srimad Bhagavatam in Sanskrit. None of them understood a single word of Sanskrit. Even the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, they didn't know what it meant. It was just some nice sort of whatever mantra. I remember when we first joined, as we said, in the early days, we had no song books. They didn't exist. If you wanted to learn a song, you just had to listen when they were singing it and try to pick it up. So there was a mantra which was chanted sometimes, not often, but sometimes. It goes, Gaur Nityananda Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Gaur Nityananda Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And this devotee, he's trying to understand, what is this mantra? And he came to us and said, you know, they're chanting a new mantra, I just can't make out what it is. It sounds to me like, don't cut the vegetables, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. So those were the days. They really were. The bad old days. So anyway, there they were in the temple room. And this devotee who told me about this, Prabhupada said, yes, we will reach him at Bhagavatam till midnight, 5 hours in Sanskrit. And this devotee was sitting, they had a clock on the wall. He was watching the clock for 5 hours, literally. He was in full samadhi, fixed, watching the second hand. And he said the second hand was going like this. Every second it would go tick, but then it would stop. And then, you know, some time would pass, and after a little while, so, you know, a little some time, tick. And then again some more time, and it would, some more time would pass, and a little bit later, tick. And he said he was sure, he was convinced time had slowed down, actually. That was because of his condition. It is called, well, viraha means separation, not varaha, viraha. Viraha means separation. And he was feeling very intense prasadam viraha. Separation from prasad. So, yes, so our point here is that we have to learn to appreciate the devotees. Because we have been living in material life, in this I, me, and mine perspective, any situation we look at it in terms of I, me, mine, what's in it for me? Is it good for me? Do I like it? Do I want it? Or do I not want it? And then we react, then we act. So we have been living like that, very self-centered. And do I like this person? Well, I don't know. Or do I not like this person? So that is material existence. Now we come into Krishna consciousness. But we are bringing that consciousness with us. Sometimes we call it carrying baggage. Baggage, like carrying some bags from the past. You're carrying with you some conceptions and ways of seeing things and ways of thinking. You are carrying those things into Krishna consciousness. Yeah. But Prabhupada said, ISKCON. In ISKCON, we have some person, you know, like me, just sort of, well, I'm from New Zealand. Then you have some Mauritians. Then you have a South African. And some men, some women, some older, some younger. But if Krishna is really in the center, and if we're not thinking about me, how do I feel about it? What do I want for me from this person or situation? But if we're thinking of Krishna, how to please Krishna in this situation, with this person, what can I do to please Krishna? Then you find You can get on with anybody. I travel a lot. Actually, I travel too much. In fact, I travel far too much. But I go to some parts of the world. In fact, when I first went to Russia, now I can sort of speak some Russian. I can speak some Russian. Some basic Russian. It's not a problem. But when I first went there, then I couldn't understand a word. Not a sound. Nothing. And you've got all these devotees talking and talking, and things are just going on. But I couldn't follow even a little. But because Krishna was in the center, we got on very well. And we became very good friends. Sometimes we would communicate by sign language. So, yeah. But my point is that if we can really put Krishna in the center and take ourselves out of the center, then we will find that at least with any reasonable devotee, any sort of normal devotee, we'll be able to get on with them. Even if they're much older than us, or if they're much younger than us, or maybe they are much more loud than us, we might be very quiet. A very quiet little devotee. And the other devotee might be a very big, loud devotee. But still, we find we can get on. So in order to do this, we have to learn how to appreciate devotees. Basic idea, we said, put Krishna in the center. What will please Krishna? What can I do in this situation which will please Krishna and not me? Yeah. First thing. That's the first thing. But then next thing, we have to learn how to appreciate devotees. Now, when we say appreciate, what do we mean really? Well, a very interesting perspective on appreciating devotees is that there are 26 qualities of a devotee. They're given in Srila Prabhupada's books, teachings of Lord Chaitanya, particularly they're there. They're in Chaitanya Charitamrita, they're there. 26 qualities of a devotee. We need to learn those qualities. And then when we are associating with some other devotee or devotees, we should try to study that devotee to see what qualities does this devotee have. In that mood of appreciation, I want to appreciate and value this devotee. So let me really try and see what is the character of this devotee in terms of these 26 qualities. Yeah. And of those 26 qualities, do you know which is the main quality? There is one quality. It is called the Swarup Lakshana, means the essential quality. And the other 25 are secondary, Tatasta Lakshana. The first quality is in Sanskrit, Krishna Akarshani, that the devotee is attached to Krishna. And then there are others like being humble and tolerant and these types of things, poetic, gentle, compassionate, kind, but they're all secondary. And the main one is that the devotee is attached to Krishna, and that we should see first how the devotee is attached to Krishna. And Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura, he is discussing these 26 qualities. He makes a very interesting point. There may be a devotee who is attached to Krishna but does not have the other qualities so much, may not be very gentle, in other words, may be rough, may not be very tolerant, in other words, may be sort of touchy, you know, you've got to be careful how you deal with them, may not be very poetic, even sometimes may use some bad language. But still, the person is attached to Krishna. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura makes the point, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura, even if a devotee is like that, still, you should not try to justify offending that devotee by saying, well, you know, he's rude, he's prone to get angry, and he's not peaceful, and sometimes he's not so honest. Therefore, we can offend him and we don't need to worry about him. No. Because that person is attached to Krishna, then we should understand this is a devotee and value that person. So I want to suggest this to you. I want to suggest two things, okay? First thing, learn this verse. 1:2:16 is an important verse. And learn the 26 qualities of a devotee. And I might even threaten you that next time I come back, watch out, I might test you. But if you know them, I might give you a prize too. So like this, the verse we're reading, 1:2:16, Shishisho Shadadanasya Vasudev Kata Ruchi Siyan Mahatsevaya Vipra Punyatiyatanishevanat. O twice born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudev. Affinity. You understand this word, affinity? It's a slightly, not, you know, such a common word. Affinity basically means that you develop some sort of attraction, really. If you serve the devotees, you will develop an attraction for hearing about Krishna. And if you develop an attraction for hearing about Krishna, that is very good. Like chanting your 16 rounds. Sometimes we try to chant our rounds, but our mind has another idea. Does it happen to you sometimes? We have one here. We have two. We have a few. Sometimes your mind has a mind of its own. And you're trying to chant, but your mind is off there in some other place, or trying to go off. So, but if we gain an affinity, if we really develop an attraction for hearing about Krishna like it is nectar, then when it comes to chant our rounds, oh, it will be so nice. We will chant and we will just become absorbed because we have an attraction. At this stage now, sometimes we have an attraction, sometimes less, and sometimes it may even be difficult to chant properly, and we may become a little disturbed with ourselves. But here, Krishna, or here in this verse, this is one of the great secrets of Krishna consciousness. You want to develop an attachment for Krishna, particularly hearing about him, hearing and chanting. So whenever there's some hearing and chanting, immediately you're absorbed. You want to know the secret. Here is the secret. By serving the devotees, one gains an affinity, an attraction. How could it work like that? What could the process be? What happens if you serve the devotees? What happens inside you that suddenly you find, oh, it's so nice to hear about Krishna, I want to do it, and I don't care what time prasadam is, I'm just going to hear about Krishna. What happens within so that that change takes place? What happens is that Krishna, within the heart, when he sees you are serving the devotees and appreciating the devotees and developing an attachment for the devotees, Krishna becomes pleased. And Krishna gives you that. Krishna gives you that attraction. This is actually explained in the next verse. Well, sort of the next step. Shrimvatam swakata Krishna punyashravana kirtana hridyantaksto hyabhadrani vidunoti suritsatam. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, Supersoul, in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, Krishna cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee, who has developed the urge to hear his messages. So this is one of the great secrets in Krishna consciousness. How to really become attached to hearing and chanting about Krishna. So that whenever some hearing and chanting is going on, immediately you become absorbed. And your mind is not wandering off here and there. The secret is serving the devotees. And of course you serve the devotees based on appreciating the devotees. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a very nice example of someone who did that. That was Raghunath Das Goswami's uncle named Kali Das. There's a whole chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita describing him, that Kalidas, he made it his life's mission to serve devotees, particularly in three ways. One, to take the dust from their feet. Two, to take the remnants of their prasadam. Three, to take the water that had washed their feet. So that was his program. He didn't get up in the morning and go to the factory or the office or school or university. He got up in the morning and went to find some devotees. And when he found them, he would try and get the dust from their feet, or the remnants of their prasadam, or some water that had washed their feet. This was his program. This is what he did. And Chaitanya Charitamrita says, in this way, he got the mercy of every devotee in Bengal. And there were millions. And ultimately, that chapter is explaining, because Kalidas had so much faith in the devotees and appreciation for the devotees, he got the supreme mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya gave him more mercy than he gave anyone, anyone. Lord Chaitanya was entering the Jagannath temple, and before he would go up the stairs, there's a ditch there. He would have his feet washed. He would sort of hold his feet out over the ditch. Someone would pour some water. And Lord Chaitanya gave strict orders. No one can take the water. But Kalidas came, and he just jumped in and put his hands out and got some of that water as it fell from the feet of Lord Chaitanya and drank it right in front of Lord Chaitanya. And then a second time and drank it. And then a third time and drank it. And then a fourth time. But then Lord Chaitanya said, "That's enough, Kalidas." That's enough. But Lord Chaitanya would not let anyone do that. Lord Chaitanya actually had one or two bodyguards. You know, like actual bodyguards. Big, strong men who were there with him, and they're watching out to see that Lord Chaitanya was okay. And Lord Chaitanya had those bodyguards stop people from taking the water that had washed his feet. Physically stop them. But he told them, let Kalidas. In this way, Kalidas got more mercy from Lord Chaitanya than anybody. So at the end of that chapter, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that Kalidas got so much mercy from Lord Chaitanya because he had so much appreciation for the devotees and so much faith in the devotees. So Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami finishes that chapter by giving an order to the readers. He says that you must have faith in these things. You must have faith in these things. I order you. If you have faith in these things, you will achieve the goal of life. And the example is, the proof is, Kalidas himself. So we know we're also coming from material life, and we know that sometimes it's difficult to get on with people. Somebody gets a bit cranky. Somebody says something about you, something negative, and you feel a little hurt. But really, we should try to cultivate appreciation for the devotees. And then you'll be surprised who you can get on with. That impossible person who you thought you would never talk to for the rest of your life because they're just too much becomes your friend in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is such an amazing thing. Yes, so this is one point. Please try and take this very seriously. Learn the verse. What's the verse number?
1 to 16.
And then try and learn the 26 qualities of the of a devotee. And then look at each other. At least once a day, sit down and look at a devotee and see, what qualities does he have? Ah, yes, he has this quality, that quality. It'll help you. In Krishna consciousness, of course, there are many challenges. Different things happen. First challenges are your own body and mind. And then there's other people's bodies and minds. And then there's the weather. And then there's so many things. We should try to learn to see what happens in our life as the mercy of Krishna. Because, you know why? Because it is the mercy of Krishna. At least for those who are trying seriously to practice Krishna consciousness, whatever happens in your life is happening by the arrangement of Krishna. And you should try and see it in that light. Let me close by telling you a little story. Some of you may have heard this story. I can't remember if I've told it here in Mauritius before. It's a famous little story. Did I ever tell the story here about the king and the minister? And the king's thumb got partly cut off. Did I tell that story? I did. Did I? I did. Can I tell it again? There was a king, and he was a devotee, sort of, kind of, to some degree. And he had a minister who was more of a devotee. So the king went out hunting one time, and the minister was with him. He's going to shoot some animal, but he slipped, and the arrow slipped, and the arrow cut off the top of his thumb. Just a little bit, but something. And the king was shocked. Look at this! Look at this! Oh no! Look at my thumb! And the minister said, it's Krishna's mercy. And the king said, what do you mean it's Krishna's mercy? Look at my thumb! I lost part of my thumb! How dare you say it's Krishna's mercy? That's no good! And he told his soldiers, arrest him! Throw him in jail, he's a nonsense. So they did. So now the minister's in jail. Some days later, the king went out hunting again, but he got lost in the jungle somewhere. And he's wandering around just in circles, and some Aborigine people arrested him. And they said, aha, very good. We are going to use you as a human sacrifice to Bhadra Kali. How nice. Oh, the king was shocked. So they're preparing him to be sacrificed to Bhadra Kali. And the person sort of preparing him noticed, wait a minute, part of his thumb is missing. His body is not whole. We cannot sacrifice him. We cannot sacrifice him. His body is not whole. So they let him go. And the king was so relieved. And then he realized it was true. It was Krishna's mercy that part of my thumb got cut off. It was true, but I couldn't see it. And then he remembered, oh no, I had my minister locked up for telling me it was Krishna's mercy. But he was right. Oh, so he went back and had the minister released and apologized. I'm so sorry. You were right. It was Krishna's mercy. I'm so sorry. What a fool I was to lock you up. And the minister said, no, no, no. You're not a fool. It was Krishna's mercy on me. And the king said, no, it's not Krishna's mercy on you. It was my foolishness. And the minister said, no, it was definitely Krishna's mercy on me that you locked me up. And then he explained. See, if I was not locked up, I would have been with you in the jungle. And I would have been arrested with you. And you would have been released because, you know, your body is not whole. But my body is whole. They would have sacrificed me. So it was definitely Krishna's mercy that I got locked up. So you see, this is very important. You know, it takes time to cultivate this perspective on your life. But it's very important to try to do so. To try to see that at least if you are trying your best to be a devotee, you're really trying to take it seriously and not just fooling around, but really trying to wholeheartedly be a devotee, then rest assured, whatever happens in your life, it is Krishna's arrangement. On the surface, from the material point of view, it may look like something else, but actually it's Krishna's mercy. And sooner or later, when different things happen, sooner or later, you will realize that. Something happened before, I got disturbed, but actually it was Krishna's mercy. And in this way, you become more able to deal with things that happen in your life while they are happening, as they happen, but seeing them as Krishna's mercy and relating with them as Krishna's mercy. And then you can really make progress. Then you can really advance. And part of that advancement is you become less affected by the things that go on around you. You know, particularly the crazy things that may sometimes happen around you. Some strange people or some unfortunate thing happens materially. But you'll become more and more able to deal with these things in Krishna consciousness without being affected until ultimately on the level of Krishna prema. The devotee may not even notice when the body dies. The devotee is serving Krishna, absorbed in love for Krishna. And then after a little while, the devotee realizes, hey, what happened to my body? My material body, it's gone. I'm in my spiritual body. And then the devotee understands, my material body must have died, but I didn't even notice. You know, Krishna says in 2.13, Bhagavad Gita 2.13, Dehinos Vinyata Dehe, Krishna says that the devotee can come to the point of tolerating the time of death. Dearest Tatra na Muhyati, the sober person does not become overwhelmed even by death. But a devotee on the level of Krishna Prema, what to speak of being able to tolerate the time of death? He or she may not even notice the time of death, because they're just too much absorbed in love for Krishna, in devotional service to Krishna. So these are some thoughts to meditate on. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question from anyone? Now I heard, you know what I heard? I heard that all the devotees from Caroline are very intelligent and thoughtful and have many questions. I heard a rumor. I don't know if it was an untrue rumor. Any comment or question? Yes, Prabhu.
Verse that you mentioned, Maharaj, 1:16, Prabhupada mentioned that one who serves the devotees, just like you mentioned, become very attached to hear the glory of God.
Right.
And Srila Prabhupada said that that person get the eagerness to hear about God, and by hearing about God, he get the qualification to enter the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So this is the commentary. And Srila Prabhupada also mentioned in the same verse, in the purport, that servant of God come to propagate God consciousness, and intelligent people should cooperate with them in all respect, and because such servants risk everything, risk his life, his everything, to preach the glories of God. So and by doing this, the Lord becomes very pleased with him. So this is a commentary that I remember, Maharaj. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Ibaku. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Hare.
So let us close, I think, with Nrisimhadev prayers. Is that okay?